भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शुश्रुषोषधानस्य वासुदेवकतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्. ओ ट्वाइस बॉर्न सेजेस, By serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Shrinvatam svakata krishnah punya shravana kirtanah hridayantasto hyabhadrani विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम. श्री कृष्णा, द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज द परमात्मा सुपर सोल इन एवरी वंस हार्ट एंड द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द ट्रूथफुल डिवोटी, क्लेंसेस डिजायर फॉर मटीरियल एंजॉयमेंट फ्रॉम द हार्ट ऑफ द डिवोटी हु हैज डेवलप्ड द अर्ज टू हियर हिज मैसेजेस व्हिच आर इन देमसेल्व्स वर्चुअस when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Tada rajastamo bhavah kamalobadayascha ye cheta etair anabiddham sitam sattve prasidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. एवं प्रसन्न मनसो भगवत भक्ति योगतः भगवत तत्व विज्ञानं मुक्त संगस्य जायते. Thus, established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. Samaveta Bhakti Vrindaki Jai Go Premanandi. All glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 90, Verse 49. Itam parasya nija vartma rirakshayata. Liyatano sadanu rupa vidam banani. Karmani karma kashanani yaduttamasya. Sruyad amosha parayor anuvrittam itchan.
In this manner, Parasya of the Supreme, Nija, his own, of Atma, hath, Rirakshaya, with the desire of protecting, Atta, who has assumed, Leela, or pastimes, to know various personal forms taught to each of these, Anurupa, suitable, Vidambanani, imitating, Karmani, activities, karma, reactions of material work, Kashanani, which destroy, Yadu Uttamasya, of the best of the Yadus, Sruyat, one should hear, Amusha, his, Padayo, of the feet, Anuvrittim, privilege of following, Itchan, desiring. Translation: to protect the principles of devotional service to him, Lord Krishna, the best of the Yadus, accept the pastime forms that have been glorified here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who desires to faithfully serve his lotus feet should hear of the activities he performs in each of these incarnations, activities that suitably imitate those of the forms he assumes. Hearing narrations of these pastimes destroys the reactions to fruit of work. By regular hearing, chanting, and meditating on the beautiful topics of Lord Mukunda with ever-increasing sincerity, a mortal being will attain the divine kingdom of the Lord, where the inviolable power of death holds no sway. For this purpose, many persons, including great kings, abandoned their mundane homes and took to the forest. Purport. For the Srimad Bhagavatam's 10th canto, this verse is the phala shruti, the promise of success given to one who hears it. The process of devotional service begins with hearing topics about the Supreme Lord. When one has heard these topics properly, he can then proceed to chant them for others' benefit and reflect on their significance. This leads to faithful adherence to the principles of devotional service, which culminates in absolute faith in Lord Krishna. Such perfect faith gives one the right to enter the Lord's intimate service and, in due course of time, return to one's eternal spiritual life in one of the Lord's personal domains. Humbling offer his comments in the 10th canto with the lotus feet as worshipable Lord Kalavishna Chakravarti prays, Madgavir api gopala svikuryat kripayaya di yadaiva sam paya pitva krishayus tat priya jana. If Lord Gopal mercifully accepts the cows of my words, then his dear devotees may enjoy the pleasure of drinking their milk, the nectar produced by hearing them. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 90th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was completed on December 27, 1988, anniversary of the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance. End of 10th canto. Translation: to protect the principles of devotional service to himself, Lord Krishna, the best of the Yadus, accepts the pastime forms that have been glorified here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who desires to faithfully serve his lotus feet should hear of the activities he performs in each of these incarnations, activities that suitably imitate those of the forms he assumes. Hearing narrations of these pastimes destroys the reactions to fruit of work. By regularly hearing, chanting, and meditating on the beautiful topics of Lord Mukunda with ever-increasing sincerity, a mortal being will attain the divine kingdom of the Lord, where the inviolable power of death holds no sway. For this purpose, many persons, including great kings, abandoned their mundane homes and took to the forest. So, this is the conclusion of the 10th canto, which is the major or the core of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam and other Puranas are said to have 10 topics, such as Sarga, Visarga, Stana, Uti, Manvantara, Ishanukata, Mukti, Arod, and Asraya. Asraya is the 10th topic, and that literally means shelter, or the cause of everything. And in the terms of Srimad Bhagavatam, the shelter is ultimately Krishna, who is Swayam Bhagavan. And though all the topics are spread throughout the Bhagavatam, we cannot say one chapter is dedicated to one particular topic. Nevertheless, we have a prominence of topics in different cantos. So, for instance, the third canto talks about Sarga, with the creation by the glance of Mahavishnu. And the fourth canto talks about the creation of Brahma and all the progeny that are created through that. So that's Visarga. And the fifth canto definitely discusses Stana, or the geography of the universe, Bhumandala, upper planets, lower planetary systems. That's a major part of that canto. The sixth is about, we have the story there of Ajamil, etc. So that is called Poshana, or protection of the Lord. How the Lord enters into the universe after creating it, and he helps the human beings there to advance. And the seventh canto is called Uti, which means a description of the two forces that struggle in this world, the demoniac force and the Deva force, the Deva force. So the represented by Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad. And the eighth canto is largely about the manus that appear in the different parts of the day of Brahma, 14 manus. Ninth canto is dedicated to Isha Anukata, other topics about the Lord. 11th canto, again, has many topics, but one of them is Mukti, or liberation. And 12th canto, there's a description of the four types of destruction, or Nirodha. And then the 10th canto is about Asraya. So that is the main topic, actually, of the whole Bhagavatam, to describe Krishna and his pastimes. So that has been completed here with the 90 chapters of the 10th canto. So this is, of course, the longest part of the Bhagavatam, and the principal one, because it's talking about Asraya Krishna. Nevertheless, we do not separate the other cantos from the 10th canto and say we'll only hear the 10th canto. We accept all of the cantos as valid. They were spoken from the 2nd canto onwards until the middle of the 12th canto. It's all spoken by Sukadeva also, written by Vedavyasa and spoken by Sukadeva. So, and we also accept the 1st canto and the 12th canto, even if they're not spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. But they're all considered Bhagavatam and worthy of hearing, because they all have valuable topics in them. So though the main topic is Krishna, we also have to understand certain things, just like the main process is chanting the holy name. But unless we have proper knowledge, we do not chant properly, and we don't get the proper goal. So similarly, we can hear Bhagavatam, but unless we have the proper knowledge, we also cannot appreciate the pastimes of Krishna even. So we have to have this preparation of hearing the other topics as well. So therefore, knowledge is also necessary, even if we have a simple process like hearing or chanting. We also need knowledge. Of course, without knowledge, we get some effect. With that knowledge, we get a more precise effect. In other words, we can get the proper goal through our hearing and chanting, if we have that knowledge. So that is why all of the reading all of the Bhagavatam is also a necessity. At the same time,
we understand everything in relation to Krishna. Because that's the main topic, Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, we should relate these topics of Sarga, Visarga, Sthana, Uti. Now, many of these topics are about material world, creation, sub-creation, planetary systems, etc. Of course, yes, the Lord creates this material world, and because we're in the material world, people have questions about it. So therefore, we have a discussion of how this world comes into being. But within the world, the Lord manifests His forms. And He gives teachings, and He gives directions on how to get out of this material world. So therefore we have topics related to the creation of the material world and how the Lord helps the jivas within the material world so they can get out of the material world. However, of all of the means of getting out, one of the main means is to hear the topics about Supreme Lord and particularly Krishna, because He is Swayam Bhagavan. So hearing the topics of Krishna is a major method of getting out of this material world. Of course, we can hear all the topics, and it's all, we can say, related to Krishna. But again, particularly if we hear the pastimes of Krishna when He manifested Himself in this world, we develop an attraction for Krishna. Because through these pastimes, we get a revelation of the form and the qualities of Krishna. And this makes Krishna all the more attractive to us. So by hearing those pastimes, we can appreciate Krishna more. Therefore the hearing the pastimes of the Lord is always glorified. So we see in this particular verse, there is a glorification of the activities of Krishna, and one should try to hear these activities with proper attitude, and then we get great benefit from them. The last verse talks about the benefits of hearing. Often, the conclusion of an episode or a chapter, we'll find the promise of results. It's called phala-sruti. So there's a glorification of the results one achieves by hearing the particular pastime or the particular chapter. Of course, some of these may seem material. The benefits may seem material in order to attract materialistic people. Just as there are many glorifications of a codicil because of their material benefits, but ultimately we're looking for spiritual benefit. So in any case, both results are there from hearing the pastimes of the Lord. We can get material results, we can also get spiritual results. The pastimes of the Lord, of Krishna particularly, are most attractive. By concentrating on Krishna, then we can attain Krishna, who's the highest form of the Lord. So we have a special advantage in hearing the pastimes of Krishna as described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. By hearing these pastimes, then we're able to become attracted to Krishna and concentrate on Krishna. And as Bhagavad Gita says, whatever you think of when you die, you attain that. If we concentrate enough on Krishna, then we attain Krishna. We attain His particular place in the spiritual world. So that is the ultimate result of hearing the topics of the Supreme Lord. In this particular verse, of course, it says one gets freed from the sway of death, etc. So this is a general promise. And one goes to the spiritual world.
So we get salokya, and we get liberation from, we don't return to the place of death, etc. So these are the common results given in the scriptures, particularly the Upanishads, to glorify the particular process. But, of course, we know that the devotee is not so much interested in going to the spiritual world or whatever. His main interest is in pleasing the Supreme Lord and serving the Supreme Lord at all times. Now, that's a higher goal. So that, of course, is included when the verse talks about it going to the spiritual world, etc. Then it also includes pure service there to the Supreme Lord. So it's not just that it is tempting the jivas with some sort of enjoyable benefits. Rather, it also gives the highest result of eternal service to the Supreme Lord. So this is available to the persons who hear attentively the pastimes of Krishna. Hearing process is connected with the chanting process. We hear the topics and somebody must recite them in order that we can hear them. So that is a type of kirtan. We have nam kirtan, where we sing the name of the Lord, but then we also have kirtan of recitation of the pastimes of the Lord. And we see that Sukadeva Goswami is famous for kirtan. What did he do? He recited the Bhagavatam. That was his kirtan. And Parikshit was famous for hearing. He heard the Bhagavatam. So the two processes of hearing and chanting go together. And then after that we have smaranam, remembering. And then that intensifies to jhana, or meditation on the Lord. So the three processes involving the voice, the ear, and the mind, they combine together to make a very powerful process for attaining the Supreme Lord. So though we emphasize Nam Sankirtan, we don't separate that from the hearing process or the remembrance process, because we also know that of all of the rules and regulations of bhakti, the main rule is simply always remember the Lord and never forget Him. So mind also is a necessary component even in doing kirtan, whatever. So all the processes, hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord are combined together to make a very powerful way in which we can attain the supreme goal of serving the Lord eternally. That is exemplified by the description of the devotees, particularly the devotees in Vrindavan. So by hearing about those activities, we aspire for a similar type of activity and a similar type of attitude. Then we can attain a similar position in the spiritual world. So that is the benefit of hearing about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, particularly Krishna. We can attain Krishna, and we can attain the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. So the process is not too complicated. It's actually a very simple process. And it can be performed under any condition. One doesn't have to be completely renounced. We find in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, most of his devotees were grihasthas, they were married. So it doesn't require complete, you could say, renunciation in order to attain the goal. Therefore, it's a flexible process. All people can take part in it. Though it is flexible, we can also attain the highest goal. So normally, of course, as one hears and chants and remembers, one becomes completely absorbed in the Lord. So one may also eventually give up everything in favor of pursuing spiritual life. And therefore, at the end of this verse, it talks about how they gave up their houses and went to the forest. Ultimately, That's not an initial qualification, but it is a natural result of absorption in spiritual life. One becomes very detached from everything in the material world. So the process leads to complete attachment to the Lord and complete detachment from everything else. And that is one's qualification for entering into the spiritual world. So the Bhagavatam is a work which should be heard and discussed among the devotees. And then we get the proper result of that promise. The ship with the material world, etc. And in this way we get sambandha gyan, or knowledge of the relationship between the Lord and the Jiva and the Supreme Lord, which is necessary. So the 10th canto also is complete in that way, that it gives us sambandha, the preliminary knowledge. It gives us the process of bhakti, and it also gives us the goal, prayojana. So all three aspects of scripture are represented even just the 10th canto by itself. But this is expanded over the other volumes. So from the first canto all the way up to the 9th canto, and then 11th and 12th, we get an expansion of whatever is mentioned in the 10th canto. We get an expansion of the particularly the sambandha gyan aspect there. And therefore we should read all of the Bhagavatam, not just the 10th canto. But as Sukadeva Goswami, Narada Muni, instructed to Veda Vyas, that he should mainly glorify Krishna, that order is followed by having the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, where we have all of the pastimes of Krishna elaborately discussed, more elaborately than in other Puranas or other works. So this is a great contribution to the glorification of Krishna because of the detailed descriptions of Krishna's pastimes.
It was mentioned that the mundane, they left the mundane homes, the kings went to the forest.
Yeah.
Did they go to hear Bhagavatam or just went to take Vanaprastha?
Well, for the in the normal Varnashram system, they go and do austerities. That was Vanaprastha's, do austerities mainly. If they become more qualified, then they take sannyas, and then their main activity is meditation on the Supreme Lord. However, for the Vaishnavas, this process becomes modified. So whether one is grihastha or is vanaprastha or sannyasi, most renounced, in any case, the concentration is always on the Supreme Lord. So therefore the vanaprastha is not just doing austerities, he's also absorbing himself in worship of Supreme Lord. And then when he becomes more detached, then he takes sannyas. So, but these are not initial qualifications. They're, we could say, results of the process of bhakti. One becomes more and more detached from everything in the world. So they are, in one sense, external signs. The main element that is most important, more important than the detachment, is the attachment to the Lord. So the more attachment we have to the Lord, the less attachment we have to everything in the material world. So that's a byproduct. Renunciation is a byproduct of attachment to Krishna or bhakti. So the more one becomes advanced, the more one becomes detached. And therefore the many kings, they became advanced, then they gave up their kingdom and they went to the forest, etc.
Can we make an suppose somebody's advanced in the family, instead of giving association to the family members, it has come out, how the family members will get knowledge?
Yeah, so usually we find that the those who do renounce, or even the mentions here about the great kings going to the forest, they do so after they fulfill all their duties with kingdom, family, etc. They don't irresponsibly renounce. So that is the general system, that before renouncing, that one makes sure that everything is taken care of. So if one is taking vanaprastha, then one has to make sure that the children are taken care of. If one takes sannyas, one has to make sure the wife is taken care of. So there is some responsibility involved before one renounces completely. So if one doesn't follow that process, then generally one has more problems, because then later on one can get problems from the various people, the children or the wife or whatever. So therefore, it's better to settle all the issues before renouncing.
Some exception, like Lord Buddha, he just left home leaving his 2-year-old son and wife middle of the night.
So he was not following the regular process of Varnashram system. We see the Varnashram system as a rather gradual process in most cases. One is a grihastha, and then after the children are grown up and the children have grandchildren, then one renounces. So there's no sudden departure in that way. And then one takes a semi-renunciation as Varnaprastha, then one takes complete renunciation later on. It was a more gradual process. So that's the normal system. We may have exceptional cases, of course, but that's the general method of renunciation.
Kali Yuga is not much recommended. Like, they can be there in Sthanisthiti, where wherever they are, they can. Arjuna was told by Krishna, "Don't go to forest."
We find even not only in Kali Yuga, the idea is those who are qualified renounce, and in the Vedic system, it was only the brahmanas, who are a minority anyway. They are the ones that qualified for sannyas. The others are not qualified for that. But the kshatriyas, the kings, they could semi-renounce. So they took vanaprastha. And we see that's the case of Bharat or other great kings, or the Pandavas. They went off up into the Himalayas, etc. at a certain stage after they renounced their kingdom when they were elder. So according to a qualification, one can renounce. But in terms of bhakti, the emphasis is not upon the renunciation. It depends more upon the devotion. And one can be devoted within family life or outside of family life, renounced or unrenounced. As one advances, of course, one becomes more and more detached. But Lord Chaitanya himself, though he took sannyas, he did not emphasize renunciation. So then in the Sampradaya after that, most of the devotees were grihasthas. And there was no sannyasas such. There were some babajis, but no sannyasis. So emphasis was more upon the development of bhakti than on the idea of renunciation. For doing jnana and yoga, renunciation is part of their process. Because they do have to control their senses and control their minds. They have to do vratas, they have to practice vairagya. So renunciation is part of those processes, but it's not inherent in the process of bhakti. Other than the qualification, not too attached to material things in the beginning, and then gradually one naturally develops detachment later on.
In one sampradaya, we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he got a certain age, he went and chanted many noms, like Nirjana Bhajan. But Prabhupada, he was preaching until the last moment.
Yeah, it's according to the person, of course, their desire. Of course, throughout his life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a grihastha. Then later on, when he renounced his job, etc., and then his family was taken care of, then he renounced and he became a babaji, or a renunciate. So it is possible one can do that, or one doesn't have to also. As I said, this is all external. The main idea is that one is more absorbed and more absorbed in the Supreme Lord than anything. And naturally, he'll be less attracted to anything in the material world. Well, these things go together, as I said, the meditation or the smaranam, along with the chanting and hearing, go together at the same time. We put the emphasis upon kirtan or chanting process, because for most people, simply to meditate is very difficult.
They don't have the a controlled mind, so it's more difficult for them to do. So the process of kirtan is easier for them. Of course, even in the spiritual world, of course, everybody's always remembering the Lord. Everybody's also chanting the glories of the Lord. So the process of kirtan or glorifying the Lord is never given up. But it's closely connected with remembering the Lord. So through kirtan, we remember the Lord more. And by remembering the Lord, then we do more kirtan. So the two processes are related. But in the very beginning, it's difficult simply to remember the Lord. So therefore, the emphasis put upon the kirtan process. But they're ultimately inseparable. The two go together.
Different leelas exhibited by the Lord. Does any of the leelas connected with the gunas exhibited by the leelas, any particular leela is connected with particular guna like?
Oh well, it's through activities that one that we get a manifestation or a revelation of the qualities of Krishna. If he didn't do anything, we would never know what his qualities were. But when he does activities in relation to his devotees, then we begin to understand and appreciate his qualities. So we can appreciate his mercy, we can appreciate his intelligence, we can appreciate his boldness, or we can appreciate his valor, etc. So through different activities, we can understand and appreciate the qualities of Krishna. So qualities and the activities are, we can say, go together, more or less. We can just have a list of qualities of the Lord, as we have 64 qualities of Krishna mentioned in Nectar Devotion. But then these become more significant when we see them revealed through certain pastimes. Then we appreciate them.
64 qualities.
Well, I don't see it anywhere listed like that, but when we have the 64 qualities listed in Nectar Devotion, therefore we have verses quoted for each one. And usually if you take those verses, then they'll be in some particular pastime of the Lord.
Grandra, Sisu Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.